all over at St Andrews. The Tom Cleverley era is off to a winning start. They ought to stay up. Birmingham City 0, Watford 1. We're going to talk about the game when they get home with John and Adam. A game really, really short on quality, and that's something we'll talk about. We'll talk about how we struggled to carve out any real opportunities. Birmingham probably had the lion's share of the chances in the second half. But we'll get into the bones of that tomorrow. For now, we're just going to enjoy the evening. Watford have won on the road. Birmingham 0, Watford 1.
Welcome to From the Rookery, a podcast about a life following the glorious, the wonderful Watford Football Club. I can say that because, hey, we won, and it's been a while since we've won. And it's always important to grab those little moments as a football fan because, hey, they don't always come around as much as we would like. Watford, of course, played away yesterday at Birmingham City. The Blue Noses of Birmingham, and they won 1-0. Hurrah! And I'm joined to talk about that game. Two men who were in St Andrews. One is Mr Adam Drury. Hello, Adam.
Good afternoon, John.
And Mr Mike Parkin.
I've worked out the secret to Watford winning. Before the game, I was in the pub with Mike Smart, Cam's dad. Cam's on Voices of the Vic, so hello, Cam. So Mike Smart and Mike Duffy, who's also on Voices of the Vic. So three Mikes combined, and the unstoppable power of three mics being combined in the away end. I mean, there's obviously more than three mics in the away end, I'm sure, but is that the secret to winning? I'm not sure now I've said it out loud.
Well, we don't know. By the way, if your name is Mike and you aren't one of the ones that we mentioned so far, do get in touch at What For Podcast on Twitter or on the at podcast at fromtheweekend.com. My name's Mike and I was at the game. See if we can get a tally chart on how many mics in the Watford end. But it was, it was Tom Cleverley, good old little Tom, Thomas, I think we have to call him now because, you know, he's got a bit of a proper position. Adam, you know, we spoke about the exit and the choice of Tom last week. For you, though, going, you know, where is your head at been with the exit of Val and the sliding sideways of Tom Cleverley?
I kind of was a little bit, not surprised, but deflated and kind of disappointed, I think, to be honest, by the exit of Val. I think I'm in maybe a minority in that sense, but I felt like it's just another kind of aimless move where the club doesn't actually know the direction it wants to head in, and is just making another change to try and create a short-term gain. And that's what it feels like it's been now for 4 or 5 years, a number of changes where we're chasing a short-term hit rather than knowing which direction we're going in. So you know, the win yesterday probably doesn't change my perspective on that overall, but it was clear, I think, I thought the atmosphere in the away end was really good. One of the best I've been in this season, and quite encouraging and supportive. Personally, where I was standing, there was less negativity. And it did feel like there was almost a communal effort in the club throughout this week and yesterday towards winning this game. Like, picking up 3 points yesterday was absolutely crucial, with the bottom three kind of looking over our shoulders. And with the run-in that we know we've got to come, it felt to me, and even the way Cleverley was talking before the game, there was so much energy going into this match that, like, we have to find a way to win it. And I think that was replicated in the stand as well. And that's kind of how I felt. It felt like a big performance in that sense, not necessarily in the way we played, but in the way that there was a real determination running through everybody that we were going to find a way to get the 3 points. So, I actually felt fairly optimistic just from being in the away end beforehand, and kind of it felt quite positive, I'd say.
I thought the atmosphere was excellent, Adam, in the away end yesterday. I've been to quite a few of the away games recently, and it was certainly ratcheted up a number of levels from previous games. Were you in the ground early enough? I got there quite late, but I'm not going to blame the two mics I mentioned earlier for keeping me in the pub longer than they should have done. But I think I heard someone mention that as the players went in to warm up, Tom Cleverley came over to the away end. Is that right, with the players, to get everyone going?
No, I was still in the concourse enjoying the Luton chants. I think Luton throwing away a 3-0 lead in midweek did contribute towards the atmosphere pretty much yesterday as well, if that one mentioned. So I didn't see that, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure that's the kind of thing that he'll have planned on doing beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right, Adam. I think your points about Valerian Ismail leaving are completely valid. And I think there is a wider conversation to be had. But as John said at the top of the pod, we've got to enjoy these moments when they come across. And ultimately, I think we often talk about the wider picture and what's happening at Watford in the future. But they do have a job to do, which is win as many football matches as possible. And I think they had, with bearing in mind the performances that had gone previously, I think they had to really make a move at this stage. I know, I get your point in terms of what does it mean for Watford in 12, 18, 24, 36 months' time? Probably not much. But the performances were so bad and everyone was so flat and down and deflated that it just felt inevitable. And I think it's probably borne out. Yeah, and this is one game, one... is it a sparrow doesn't make a spring? Well, anyway, yeah. It was raining and miserable yesterday, so nothing made spring yesterday. But just the whole vibe was up. And you're right, Adam, to talk about the week leading up to it. There was a huge amount of goodwill towards Tom Cleverley for obvious reasons. And I think just the vibe in that away end yesterday was big. It sort of felt like a bigger game for us than it did Birmingham, bizarrely, who, whilst I've said that we are in relegation trouble, I don't think we are now. Birmingham very much are. And I was sort of talking to people expecting a really, really sort of quite febrile atmosphere at St Andrews. We've all been there in the past and experienced that. Reasonable crowd there, I think over 21,000. They're fighting for their lives. And I felt like we were going to be really up against it from an atmosphere point of view. But there wasn't a bit of that, really, was it? It felt like a more of a sort of cup final type game but a cup tie game for Watford. Just everyone was up, no one sat down for the entire 90 odd minutes. It was the culmination of a week of sort of quite feel good factor around Watford, I felt, and luckily they just about managed to get it done on the pitch just.
Yeah, but it was enough in many ways, because that does now put us on 48 points. And I did, to calm my nerves and to look at these things and are we safe? And of course, you know, technically we're not. But in the last 10 years, 48 points would have easily kept you up, apart from 2 years. One was where Charlton went down with 48 points in 2019-20, and Blackburn in 2016-17, they went down with 51 points. But wow. On the whole, it pits us in, you know, 8 out of 10 years and looking like the way things are down there, that does calm things down. And I think I'm looking forward to that, because I think the worst of what's been happening around the Watford fandom in these last couple of weeks is the fact that, yes, the leaving and the getting rid of yet another manager and how that makes you feel, but having the grey cloud hanging over of possible relegation battle does sort of calm things down, I think. And I think hopefully we were great for the, like I say, it was great to have that cup final feel, especially with the pyros and the flames and the fireworks I saw on social media. You know,
we should have told them, John, shouldn't we, that if you've got a big must-win home game, do not pull the stops out when it comes to sort of fireworks and fire displays. I think the last time that Watford did that at home was that at home to Norwich, was it? I think a midweek game where we really needed to win to give ourselves a chance to stay up. Lost 3-0. Absolutely dismal.
An email from Moussa Sissoko in the week telling us to turn up and bring the noise.
Yeah, that's it.
That was right, yeah. Yeah.
So someone should have forwarded that detail on to Tom Brady and his pals, because, if you talk about jinxing, which we've spoken about a little bit over the past couple of weeks, they jinxed themselves with the pyro. But it was good for us. It was sort of down our end and got everyone going. But I think you're right to say that, John. You mentioned grey cloud, and it was really, because if you combine the run of results, the run of performances with that sort of, it was a faint spectre of relegation, really. But it was there, because what's happening after this Birmingham game is a run of really, really tough games. And now, having got that win and got that sort of feel-good factor, such as it is or such as it can be after a tumultuous season and only one game with a new boss in charge, it does feel like that we can go into those games, not with a handbrake off, but with a little bit more sort of freedom, a little bit. It's like, right, you've got something to prove now, lads. Go out there. You've got something to prove, but more importantly, nothing to lose. Teams coming to us like Leeds United, who are fighting tooth and nail to stay in the top two. Absolutely everything to play for them. We've got a real opportunity to show our worth against teams who are under pressure now. So hopefully we talk about, you want to get some fun from the season, you want to get some enjoyment from it. Well, hopefully it's now it is set up for us to do that. And perhaps we can sort of be a bit of a stick in the spoke of the wheels for people going for promotion, and we can have a little bit of fun on the way and hopefully build towards the summer. Go into the summer with our sort of heads held high and a bit of confidence and start building something, whatever it may be, for next year.
Well, one thing they might actually build, our very good friend Matt Furness tweeted, is the youngest Watford starting lineup since 2011, which is, Mike, if you remember, that's the year we started from the rookery end, the first season that we did from the rookery end. So it's been a long time. Mike, of that lineup, can you name me three, not the whole 11, three of the young players that might have made up that lineup when Watford won 2-0 at home, and away at Coventry?
Lee Hodgson?
One.
Marv?
No, Marv did not play.
Someone like Matty Wichelow or something like that?
Correct, yes. One more.
Adam Thompson?
He did. He started the game as well.
Oh, other ones, come on.
Other classics. Del Bennett.
Yeah. Did I tell you that when I went to, I worked at Northampton versus Portsmouth for Opta a couple of months ago. There's an amazing memorabilia shop at Northampton. It's like a port cabin. They've got all manner of sort of Watford stuff. In there was a match-worn Dale Bennett Watford shirt.
How much did it on sale for?
Well, I think he wanted about £100 for it. I'm like, I'll come and see him afterwards. And I didn't go and see him afterwards. No offence to Dale Bennett. Forest Green legend, of course.
Ross Jenkins, too, also being a young player in that lineup. Yeah.
Young Troy in that lineup.
He came on as a sub. But the other one is Andy Vyman, who, of course, is still going these days, but he would have been a young loanee from Aston Villa. So yeah, it's interesting sort of comparing the Watford of now and the Watford of then and how we sort of look at those things differently. And actually, we'll talk about looking at Watford in the past after having reflected on the podcast that we put out this week about supporting Watford in the 1970s. But let's talk about the game and let's talk about the men on the pitch. The goal came from Dennis. You know, we hoped when he came, he would get us a few goals to get us a couple of wins. And hey, that's what he did, Michael. He got us the win with just one goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally all he did. And I know that you've mentioned he's put on the pitch to score goals, so you can't really complain about if he does that. But he picked the guy's pocket. Really, really nice finish. We were talking in the stands, despite all the positivity, that it was going to be either a flash of brilliance or a mistake that was going to be a goal for either team, really. And it was ultimately a bit of a mistake, wasn't it, from the Birmingham defender, allowed Emmanuel Dennis to take the ball off him. Still a pretty decent amount of work to do. He still had to finish it. John Ruddy it was quite a difficult situation, but he whipped it over and passed John Ruddy and into the net. So yeah, fair play to Emmanuel Dennis for taking his chance. Both goals he scored, though, in fairness, have been absolute gifts, haven't they, since he came back from Watford. And I think the thing I was disappointed about him yesterday, and it does lead to questions about his fitness, both mental fitness and sort of on-pitch sharpness. He's just on his heels for everything, sort of slow to react, not really chasing back that much, which we know we're going to get from him anyway. That's not really his style. But he wasn't very quick to react to stuff and was just... It just felt slow and a little bit sloppy. And when he's supposed to be your outlet, effectively your number nine. I thought it was a pretty disappointing performance from Emmanuel Dennis. Apart from the goal, and you know, very, very important goal. So all credit to him. And I just think my mind was drifting a little bit there when you're talking, John, about going back to younger players. I think that's part of me is quite excited to sort of clear the decks again from people like Emmanuel Dennis and just try to look to build something with youngsters, perhaps something to prove coming through the ranks. Well, I'm sure we'll speak about James Morris and Ryan Andrews, two youngsters who started yesterday. But we just need freshening up. And I just thought Emmanuel Dennis, I don't know what you think, Adam, or whether I'm being unduly harsh, but I thought it was a ponderous sloppy performance from Dennis apart from the goal.
Mm. I cleverly did say afterwards he was kind of playing with an injury, I think. There's
Fair
definitely
yep.
a fitness issue where he doesn't look sharp, as you say. And actually, even when the ball comes into his feet, the first touch is you're kind of holding your breath to see whether he's going to knock it 5 yards in front of him or actually bring it down. I would say that I think the goal, he's probably the only forward we've got who would score that goal in terms of the ability to quickly sprint, win the ball back and finish. I mean, Bio's maybe got the former where he works very hard, but it was quite a nice composed finish as well, which is maybe kind of beyond what you'd expect from Bio. So that's the moment that defines the game. But I would say overall, it's going to come too late now, but we're still kind of waiting for that moment where we hope he explodes onto the scene since we signed him. His goal record, I think that's his third goal playing as a centre forward for us in, I tried to do the maths, about 390 minutes worth of games. So he's, the goals are coming, and actually a couple of the goals, the Huddersfield one, I think, was better than, again, better than our other centre forwards would be capable of.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
He's been more frustrating than kind of an exciting watch since we re-signed him. And I think the point of signing him is kind of beyond us now, which was probably to try and push on towards the top six.
Although, that said, he got the goal yesterday that's put our relegation fears hopefully to bed. So you could argue that that he's delivered in that area. And you are right. And I think it's interesting, if he was playing with an injury, that would make sense. Doesn't really speak too much. Doesn't really point to Tom Cleverley sort of trust in Rajovic or Bio if he's preferring a sort of injured Dennis to those two.
I mean, Rajovic just isn't not getting on the pitch now, is he? And Dennis passed down the middle and Bio's the kind of natural sub.
And I think you do make an important point. The other guys wouldn't have scored that goal. Effectively it was a one-on-one, but he had to rob the guy, compose himself, and then the finish was one of those. It does take technique, that finish. And I think you're right. The other guys probably would have struggled with it. So he got the goal. It's an important goal. It'd be fascinating to see how he performs for the rest of the season, actually. With that, hopefully, perhaps with that sort of slight relaxation of where we are in terms of the table, perhaps he can flourish a little bit, not feel the pressure as much, and not feel as part of a team that is just really struggling to perform and struggling to get much needed points. Perhaps when it's a bit more relaxed, we might see him flourish a little bit. Who knows?
Adam, overall though, that performance for Watford, well, before we sort of maybe focus on the other players and stuff, you know, it was a slow start from Watford and from Birmingham. One team worrying about getting that last win that they might be get because of the tough run in and all that stuff. Birmingham fighting for their lives, even with the fireworks. You know, but we sort of grew into it, do you think? Was it growing into, do you see it as growing with confidence or growing with knowing the game just a little bit better and just trying to execute what you've been told and just, you know, maybe confidence in sticking with the plan?
I think definitely we settled down as the first half went on. Probably what I was talking about earlier, that energy of it being a big game and we kind of have to deliver, maybe led to quite a fraught start where we couldn't really keep the ball, couldn't get going. And then as we settled down in terms of our nerves, probably played some of the best football that we've played for a little while. To be fair, I thought the first half against Coventry last week was the best we've played in months. There's a certain irony to that being Val's last game. There are certain kind of little things that maybe have been changed in recent weeks in terms of the setup. So I quite like Asprea and Shaq Patadze playing wide and close to Dennis. And Tom Delibashira in that holding role. I know we're kind of going to come on to individuals later, but I thought he played really well and I like him there. And those guys kind of got into the game and we actually played with a bit of zip and made Birmingham look quite average for a little while. And I think that might have been the period of the game where we realised, okay, clearly a win is within our grasp here. And the goal didn't come from one of those moments. But, you know, you score goals like that because you're playing down that end of the pitch and you make things happen. So, yeah, definitely grew into the game as the first half went on. And I think there was probably, even though the second half was a tough watch at times, that was maybe the period where we kind of believed we're capable of holding them at bay.
I agree. Birmingham looked beleaguered after a sort of relatively, they started better than us, I think. More on the front foot. Watford just looked a little bit all at sea. It looked like they'd sort of just woken up a little bit. But I think that word you used, Adam, is really apt, that word zip, because they did they did grow into it and they did find a bit of tempo, didn't they? And they moved the ball around nicely, moved Birmingham around, got into nice space. Those players that you mentioned there, Adam, did sort of, they pinged the ball around and just were just asking questions of Birmingham. Didn't quite get there, didn't quite unlock the chances that we'd have been looking for against a team so low on confidence like Birmingham were. But it did look like it was sort of one step on from what Val was trying to get them to do. Get out there, play, and you're good enough to work out how to unlock these defences. Obviously, they weren't able to do it, and I think previously, and I think Val didn't help himself in that regard. But there did seem to be a renewed sense of a slightly more renewed sense of confidence in that final third, certainly for a 20-25 minute spell. And I'm always impressed when that comes off the back of a shaky start, because you have to earn that right, don't you? You have to find that footing, and I thought they did that. Based and I'd like to, probably you ought to spend more time talking about these guys, but we will do in shortly, based on a pretty solid defensive performance from the Hornets, they sort of repelled the Birmingham threat such as it was early on and throughout, and that allowed the guys up in that final third. It just looked like they were doing stuff with purpose. There looked like there was a bit more enjoyment in it, and it looked like they were coming up with ways, or at least trying to come up with ways to score, which has been completely lacking previously. You'd get to that final third and they'd look around, oh, not really sure there, back we go midfield, back we go to the keeper. And you're right, Adam, the goal didn't necessarily come as a direct result of a particular pattern of Watford offensive play, but what it did come was at the end of Watford looking quite nice and looking quite good, and Birmingham thinking, oh, this is the sort of Watford that probably a lot of people expected to see this season. We could have done without this afternoon, and the pressure eventually told and we got the goal. So yeah, the sort of second half of the first half, if you like, was really, really encouraging. It was sort of Valerian Ismail's Watford, but slightly broken free of the restraints and the shackles that we've seen before. So it was, like you say, Adam, the second half went on to be pretty poor, but some green shoots certainly there in the second half of the first half.
Well, that defence, let's talk about it, is very young. I think so young, I should call them all by their first names. There was Ryan, A. There was James, M. Ryan, P. And Matty, because he's young, we can still call him Matty. Matty P as well. They could easily be sixth formers, from my point of view and my age. But, they lacked Hoot, and the fact that almost like his outlet that he's been, this cross-field ball out wide from left to right, that wasn't available to us. Adam, do you see anything more in them? Maybe just being, again, all in a similar place. None of them are first choices. None of them have been, one has probably played more games than the other. Matty Pollock's recently, Andrew's out and in, and James Morrison nowhere near it, really, for any length of time. Do you think actually that helped, the fact that they were four boys who were trying to prove themselves?
We definitely saw like an absolute determination in their performance, which you can't say, I'm not going to say that we wouldn't have seen it from more senior players, but considering, as we've spoken about already, the absolute energy towards winning the game, maybe these guys coming in with a point to prove and such a determination to contribute to the performance maybe did help, because there wasn't a lot of calm in our defensive play, I would say. There was particularly in the centre-backs, I thought they were both great, but there was a lot of bodies on the line, blocks, going and winning headers, kind of old school nuts and bolts centre-back play. Obviously, Hoot brings that calmness and the left foot and the switches of play, as you say. But it almost maybe suited that feverish need to win, because these young guys were just absolutely chucking everything at it whenever they needed to. Pollock's the kind of epitome of that, isn't he? Because I can't think we've got a more determined-looking player. He looks absolutely sort of pleased as punch every time we win a game. Even as a sub, he looks like a good teammate. And so I'm always pleased for him when he has a good game, because he, talked very openly about how desperate he is to do well for us. And he really does put his body on the line. And he had to play in that left-hand position yesterday, obviously on his wrong foot. More tactically astute people will be able to talk about this, but you know, the way we try and play out will have had to completely change because he wants to come on his right foot rather than his left. Did a really good job. And I think there is something in that theory of, as you said, the younger guys being so desperate to contribute and keen to be involved in a big win, that there was no holding back in terms of their bravery and, yeah, the way they put their bodies on the line. And that to me is probably how I'll remember this win going forward, the way that they defended really bravely, despite missing their sort of their calm leader there at the back.
So, Mike, with the fact that Jamal Lewis missed out, who would have, you know, you would have thought would be the man who holds the shirt at the moment. Ryan Andrews back in again, but you know those two out wide particularly had more to prove than anybody else. I think in terms of their attacking prowess and what they add to that, but also their defensive. Do you feel a bit more? I don't want to say comfortable. That's the wrong word, but you know.
I am comfortable with them, and it was interesting what Adam said about the sort of blood and thunder nature of the defending that had to go on. I think that's just kind of where we're at. These are the games that we're involved in, and at the level we're playing at. You play a team that's down there with the dead men like Birmingham, like we are. It's always going to be more physical and more hectic than sort of balanced, sort of nuanced attacking play. That's just the way it was. And sometimes when you've got to get down and dirty, you've just got to do it. And I thought those guys did particularly well. And I thought Ryan Andrews and James Morris, they're very Watford defenders. We're kind of used to that sort of player, wholehearted, committed, as Adam said about Matty Pollock, demonstrably good blokes, no doubt proud to be out there playing for Watford and playing for the supporters, young guys with hopefully a long career ahead of them. So lots and lots of goodwill towards both of them. I think they're both very different players. I felt a little bit sorry for Ryan Andrews yesterday on a number of occasions, certainly in the first half, galloping into acres and acres of space down the right. And instead of just getting the ball out and out, to shoveling the ball out to him, they would sort of go back inside and missed a number of runs from him. And on the rare occasion that did get the ball to him, he put decent balls in. And there was a little bit of chaos and panic in the Birmingham box, similar to what Adam was describing in the Watford box. So I felt a little bit sorry for him that his buccaneering runs often get ignored. And I think that's a shame. I think defensively, to be honest, I thought he struggled yesterday. And then I think we saw some of the reasons why he has been left out. I think he drifts in and out of games. I think concentration-wise, he can be poor. It's just control it can be average. He loses the ball quickly. But you going back to what I said about them being Watford defenders, it's a balance. If he was the world's best right back, he wouldn't be at Watford. So, and he's only young with a lot to learn. So I'm looking forward to seeing him develop. He will no doubt develop into a fine right back for Watford. Hugely exciting with his pace. You can see often early in games when opposition players get surprised by his pace, they're sort of jogging back to shepherd the ball out. It's like, oh my God, where did he come from, sort of thing. So there's that great excitement. We've had very, very little bums off seats moments for Watford in the past couple of years, but he's definitely one who I think can deliver that. I thought he struggled defensively, but ultimately, clean sheet, he'll be happy come today. James Morris on the left-hand side, I've said it before, I don't think he's ever let us down, for Watford. He's not Jamal Lewis in terms as he hasn't got that natural attacking prowess, but he has been asked to go forward in his position before and has done it pretty well, I think. He certainly hasn't
just
got...
He can whip a ball in, can't he?
Yeah, absolutely. He hasn't. You're not going to say he's got the attacking verve of Andrews on the right hand side or Jamal Lewis in full flow, but he is a solid, committed left back. And there's times when he struggled yesterday again. Certainly in the second half, I thought there were a couple of moments where he got himself into sticky situations. But as a unit, they recovered from it. Although I loved that back four. For all its faults and sort of, I'm not going to say it's heart-stopping moments, there weren't many of them, but they just got stuck in and they did exactly what you want your back four to do, which is to protect their goal with everything they've got. And they did it. We're at the level now where we just want performances of some description, and those guys between them turned one in. I think the centre-backs were the men of the match by some distance. Ryan had a difficult one. James Morris had a reasonable game, as he so often does for Watford. And for me, I'd prefer to see him start in left back now over Jamal Lewis. Jamal Lewis isn't going to be a Watford player next year. James Morris certainly is. Let's keep him in and let's let him develop in that position alongside, if Wesley Hurt comes back in, it won't be back for Leeds. I think it's two game suspension. Let him learn from him and develop. And he can, for me, he's our starting left back next year, bearing in mind the wider context of where we're likely to be in terms of incomings and the money we're going to have for transfers. So yeah, massive hat tip to the back four as a whole. Some issues there have been all season. But yeah, the centre back's the men of the match for sure.
Because it's interesting to look at, like, that we talk about the young lineup, and we have to look at Tom, and we have to look back why he might have been brought in for this, at least this little run of nine games, suppose he'll have in charge. But also, I find it fascinating the men that have been put around him, part of his team, Jimmy Gilligan and Tom and Armand, who worked with Tom, and also Damon, who's been leading the coach and the won promotion last year for the women's team. It does really interest me in what you think about the choices of those men, particularly Jimmy, because I suppose he didn't get on the pitch, but he's around it. And you've talked about lack of, you know, signings coming up. Albert Eames, who was on the bench, didn't come on. Could this be, as you said, your desire for James Morris to play a little bit more, being a younger player, but even some of those younger lads, you know, and we may end up having an even younger average age in a game some point next season. Do you think there's going to be, do you think there is, do you hope there's going to be that sort of pull on the young under 18s, under 23s to start building, I don't know, I wouldn't call it a spine, but you know what I mean? Build a more solid squad that isn't going to mean, yeah, again, you want performers like James Morris who've never done you wrong. Then you're not going to get excited about them, but they've never done you wrong. And those young players, as we've seen over the last couple of seasons, the reaction to Ryan not being in the team recently, it's a thing that we love, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I mean, cynics could have a point in saying that this whole managerial change and those that have come in, including the backroom staff, has been done because it costs us absolutely zero. I mean, obviously, there's presumably an uptick in their salary because they're taking it. But in terms of bringing in new members of staff, there aren't any new members of staff because they're all pre-existing. So there has to be. That's a part of the thinking, just the sheer logistics of it. There's only, what, 8, 9, 10 games to go. Which head coach is going to come in with a new coaching staff? Are we going to want to pay for that to happen? Very, very unlikely. So yeah, we have to address that elephant in the room. Tom, I think, has gone for those guys because they're people he knows and trusts and has worked with. I think he's recognised himself that he hasn't been a coach for very long at all, so needs experience around him. Probably most importantly, or even bigger than experience, is people you trust. And so they're people he's been going to work with every day for a significant amount of time. Jimmy Gilligan, I think potentially that is a bit of experience. He's probably got all his coaching badges, I think, all the way up. So I suspect that's part of the thinking there, just to help him from perhaps some of the technical side of stuff that Tom might not be aware of or quite used to yet. So it just feels like what I'm happy with about that is that it feels like a team that knows each other, trusts each other, and knows the club and understands where the club is and what they need to get there. You can just tell by the way Tom's been talking this week that he's on the right hymn sheet. He's on the same hymn sheet as us as supporters, and no doubt those guys will be too. It'll be, one would assume, an honour to wear the Watford tracksuit or Watford suit on a match day, and they will be feeling rightly very, very proud to be sort of promoted to those levels. To answer your question about the sort of profile of the side moving forward, there's two sides of it. Again, the elephant in the room is probably necessity. I suspect we will be reliant on players like James and Ryan Andrews and some of the other youngsters coming through, because we won't be able to afford replacements. But also, I'm absolutely fine with that, because it is something we talk about: identity. We talk about what it is that we want to get from our football experience. We talk about what is Watford. Well, a young, fresh-faced group of players who have come through. They might not be challenging at the right end of the table necessarily, but it is something you can get behind. So I think the necessity is the sort of mother of invention, isn't it? And we've seen it before with Malky Mackay and Sean Dyche. They were sides that we look back probably quite fondly on, but they were born out of necessity. Those youngsters that we talked about earlier, I managed to pick three of them from the recesses of my dusty brain, which probably shows how fondly we look back on that, even though in terms of being competitive at the top end of the table, we weren't, but there was something there for us to believe in and hang on to. So we have to be clear that the likelihood is that given a chance, they'd want to invest. The chances are we're going to be able to invest are going to be very, very minimal. There's going to be no money available in the summer. So the likelihood is that these guys are going to come through. Is this coaching staff perfect for doing that? There's an argument for it, certainly. So could we have stumbled onto something? Well, we can't really be talking about it after 90 minutes at St Andrews. If we're talking about it this time next year and we've seen those sort of roots take hold and some green shoots flourish as a result of it, then I couldn't be happier. If we're mid-table next year with a set coaching team who understands the football club, who has bought through a number of youngsters, that would be great as far as I'm concerned.
Adam, I'm not going to make you tell me exactly how Tom has changed and revolutionised Watford in 90 minutes of football. We talked about seeing a little bit more urgency out of it. Maybe he was able to impart that where Val wasn't. But how are you looking now at those last 8 games of the season that we've got? What is it you think you want us to Watford to get out of those games?
I mean, he says that the aim now is for this season to finish and us to be looking forward to next year, right? So I guess that feels about right. This is the funny thing, really, about Val's tenure overall. It definitely wasn't all bad, and there's something there to work with, I think, moving forward. We want to keep seeing this kind of distinctive style of play, I think. I think we've done things in terms of our style this season which are more interesting than in previous years, but it was sometimes evident and sometimes not. It would also be good fun, as Mike has said, to kind of spoil a few parties. I think that should be a motivation in itself. Why not go and take points off Leeds? We've got Ipswich away midweek, I think, which is one, you know, why not go and win there and kind of ruin it for them? We've had enough teams do it to us over the years. It'd be nice to play party poofers for once. That should be a motivation in itself, but it's difficult because, let's face it, it's looking like we are one of two or three clubs with very, very little to play for in the league. So it's just about enjoying it as much as possible. I agree, again, that if there are players who we think aren't going to be around much next year, particularly loan players who, you know, we're not going to be looking to sell, then maybe try and edge them out for players who we already are going to be on the books next year. But just try and enjoy it, really, because it's not been that enjoyable for quite a while, has it? And the home form particularly, it'd be nice to get two or three wins at home, because turning up at Vicarage Road to watch Watford probably for about 4 or 5 years now, we haven't seen a particularly good home Watford team. So, little to play for maybe in terms of league position, but just a bit of feel good, I think.
We don't play anyone below us in the table.
No.
And I think this Watford side has done, we spoke about it about yesterday's game. They don't tend to hide, I don't think. There's no lack of commitment amongst the majority of them. I think we started to see a little end of seasonitis creeping in for a few of them. I thought, just to pop back to yesterday very, very quickly, I thought Yasser was a bit sort of tentative, and I wonder whether he's sort of thinking about getting to the end of the season unscathed so he can potentially move on. But look, I think as a rule, we've done pretty well in adversity. I've spoken a lot about how we've bounced back from that miserable run of form that culminated in Leeds and Sunderland away. We've gone behind in games away from home and gone back to win them handsomely at Preston in an unlikely situation at Blackburn. Beaten Hull, who are a tremendous side, and all these results have kind of come when we haven't expected them. Yesterday we were worried. I mentioned about expecting Birmingham to be up for it and it to be noisy. No Wes Hurt, we didn't think there was going to be Chakvetadze. Livermore, who's been important to us for a large swathe of the season, looks like he's potentially run out of steam. So we thought yesterday was going to be difficult, but actually they stepped up to the plate and they really do stand shoulder to shoulder. So I think, and I hope, and knowing the footballing career that Tom Cleverley has had, he's not going to be going into these games thinking, oh, I hope we can make up the numbers and just be vaguely competitive against these sides. Like you say, Adam, he'll be looking at this as a massive, massive opportunity for him to effectively apply for the job. And what have we got? Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Preston, Hull, West Brom, Southampton, Leeds and Ipswich. It doesn't come really much tougher than that in the Championship. They are sides who are playing really well. Tough places to go. One for the football cliches mob there. But it's a massive opportunity to have a bit of fun, to bloody a few noses, to make life difficult for the opposition. We've seen us do that, but just not in long enough bursts, not in 90 minute parcels, if you like. And hopefully one of the biggest issues, take aside sort of Valerian Ismail's tactics and injuries or suspensions and luck or whatever, confidence has been through the floor. That much is apparent. What players and fans alike have been going to games with their shoulders rounded, heads down, just looking to get through it effectively. And I saw for the first time really a side that believed a little bit on Saturday at St Andrews. I thought Daniel Backman played well. That's another question that was on a few people's lips. Will Backman stay in? And will he be the captain as Valerian Ismail gave him the armband? Well, he was, and he kept the armband and kept pretty well. I think he made the saves. You'd expect him to make the saves he did, but he sort of commanded his six-yard box, if not the penalty box, when he was needed to. He came out with a ferocious punch towards the end there, and I think his performance was in keeping with the rest of the defenders, and they worked really solidly as a defensive unit. So credit to Dan Backman as well. But I'm really hopeful that we just go for it now. We've got nothing to play for other than Tom playing for the job, a good swathe of Watford players staking a claim for a starting berth next year, potentially others looking to get big moves. So we're safe, hopefully, unless we do a Blackburn. And if we go down on 51 points, I don't know what we'll do. We might as well pack up and go home. But it looks like the teams below us aren't going to get that. Looking at Birmingham yesterday, they're not even in the bottom three, I don't think, and they look absolutely atrocious. It's an opportunity here now. Just go for it and just try and enjoy it. The starting 11 that takes to the field for Watford is very rarely a poor looking side. It's a side that could win most games. You need a bit of luck against a really good side, but you don't look at the 11 and go, "Oof, where's the quality there? Where's the experience there?" There is a nice blend. There is a nice mix. We haven't been able to unlock it often enough by any stretch of the imagination this season. The run of form at home has been dismal, as Adam said. But now's the time. Now's the time. Draw a line under the chaos, the uncertainty, and the miserableness of the season so far. And on we go. 8 games. Let's go out swinging.
Worth mentioning, Tom Cleverley post match yesterday talking about how he and his staff felt like they'd misjudged the game and maybe hadn't. That the game didn't play out the way he felt it was going to, and a bit of self-reflection in that respect. Mm-hmm. And that already seemed like a little bit more humility than we ever saw from Val, who was actually quite adamant that it was basically never his fault. You know, that's the message we were getting. So maybe even that kind of dynamic, he's someone who could very quickly become a figurehead for us, naturally because of the way we remember him as a player. The fact that although he may be auditioning for the job, you know, this isn't going to make or break his career. This has kind of come at a time for him when he didn't necessarily expect it. And it could be quite a nice dynamic between now and the end of the season if we can pick up one or two of those shock results.
I like the idea of a shock result. Watford shock somebody or another. That'd be quite fun. Yeah.
Leeds on Good Friday on Sky would be lovely, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes.
That's surely motivation in itself to go out on Sky and beat a promotion hopeful.
Yeah, a bit of Schadenfreude, as Jason always says. Thank you very much, everyone who's listened to the podcast we put out in the week. Myself chatting to many of the members from the Watford Treasury. Their new book, Bonds Are Out, is all there. I suppose it was lovely, Mike, to hear them speak about what it was like to be a football fan in the 70s, before our time. linking it, I suppose, in some ways to what life was like when we were kids in the 80s. But it was that whole, I have, after doing it and then editing it and listening to it again, really feel jealous of of football fans. I suppose since maybe, 2005 and before, where they could just take a head break from how much sport their football there is. I mean, I know. Remember in the 1980s, being sat by my phone and dialing round, the old telephone, the Hornet hotline number, just to find out a little bit more. But it was the space to not think about football, I suppose, and think about all the minutia that goes with it. It was nice to reminisce.
I found it absolutely engrossing. It was magical just hearing the chaps talking about it. I think they did, each of them individually at one stage or another, did catch themselves and did say there is an element of slight rose-tinted glasses looking back. Sort of nostalgia does take the edge off the sort of lesser desirable aspects of it, ground.
Yeah, but then there was a bit where Colin was going, it was great running around, being chased, It's like, yes. I don't sounded think that's like quite, doesn't amazing, like absolute, you know.
He sounded like an absolute menace, did Colin. Yeah, fair play. You could see the twinkle in his eye as he spoke about it, and just that extra little edge that it gave the whole footballing experience. And Colin, the Brigadier, and our WhatsApp group has said similar, hasn't he? He said that it did give it a little frisson of excitement, thinking that you might get run through the high street, Harlequin, whatever, by Leeds United or whatever, or even in the home end. But the way they talk about the ground, it's so, and there's always a desire amongst us, isn't there, to go back and experience what's past, because it feels so distant and magical, and you always pick out the sort of bits that are interesting and fascinating and almost romanticise about it. But I'd have loved to have seen the ground the way the chaps described it with the Greyhound track, and I can't remember who it was described it. Basically, the whole place was held together with paint, and you can imagine it, because those of us who even went during the 80s, there was always sort of hints going back to what Vicarage Road was like in the day, and yet I'd have loved to have been there to see it. And of course, there is a certain element of pride, I guess, at seeing your team rise and then fall again, to be in the doldrums. As I mentioned, I was in the pub with Mike Smart yesterday, and we were talking about the 90s and how the football was dismal, but it was really enjoyable. And looking back on it now, it's sort of like it's one of our fondest memories, because we were there amongst people who you knew, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 people. The only people there were the ones that really, really care. The pride and the excitement with which those guys spoke about it was really a beautiful thing. But you're right, John, the thing that really stuck out was, they didn't say football didn't matter. It mattered on the day, but after that, it didn't, because there was no way of doing anything about it. You could speak to your wife or your brother or your cousin or whoever about it on the walk home, or if you lived next door or whatever, but there was no mobile phones. There was certainly no internet and all that sort of stuff. Certainly no social media and all that sort of stuff. That Ollie was saying that if you didn't catch it live, you were never going to see it again. Games weren't recorded for TV, so incidents weren't replayed ad nauseum. And it took me back. I remember when I first started going in the 80s, I used to get the Watford handbook at the end of the season or close to the start of the season. And one of the things that they used to do is do a little recap of each game with a comment from the home manager and the away manager. And I used to read it, like absolutely absorb every word of it, because you didn't really read it anywhere. You didn't see it. You didn't hear what the opposition managers used to say, because who cared? No one cared. It wasn't on Sky Sports News. It wasn't picked apart by us on podcasts and social media. You never saw it anywhere. So all those tidbits, all those bits of information that you gleaned firsthand or however you could, it was so magical. Anything to do with the football club was magical because it was scarce. I remember the trips to the Hornet shop. I was just like, oh my God, I'm in this place that sells all this Watford stuff. Whereas now, while we're recording this, I could have ordered pretty much whatever I wanted. Watford boxer shorts, click. Watford dartboard, click. Watford whatever. And the scarcity was a thing of magic. And I loved the way Ollie said, when they were looking at the pictures for the book, which looks absolutely tremendous.
It is.
He remembered them all because he used to just absorbed them all, because that was it. They were the things that existed about your Watford photos, three or four perhaps photos, and he remembered them all. And yeah, clearly a very, very different time in Watford's history. Clearly a very, very different time in history for supporting football as a whole. But again, went to Rotherham a couple of weeks ago, went to Millmore, not very welcoming, not very comfortable, glass on the walls. And now, you know, Millwall last week, street vendors around the outside, fan zones selling beer and stuff. So, you know, the modern day football has got something going for it, but a brilliant, brilliant episode. And if you haven't heard it, do go back and listen. The guys speak hugely eloquently about that time, really, really bring it to life. And yeah, a perfect, if that doesn't whet your appetite for Bonser out the book, then nothing will. Do listen, do buy it.
Yeah, it's, and they say that they're transported back through the photographs that they do all the time in the Watford Treasury. So that podcast's already out, but you can get the book from thewatfordtreasury.co.uk. Thank you very much, Adam.
Cheers, guys.
And thank you, Michael.
No problem. And guess what? It was that we got the Birmingham double dub yesterday. So I went straight from St Andrews to watch Hemel Storm play against the Birmingham Rockets. Hemel won, and I didn't even fall over.
Yes,
I was very careful. I sat on the front row of the bleachers just so to make sure not to tempt fate. But yeah, Hemel won, Cheshire won, Wealdstone won. What a day! Sports, what a day. Absolutely amazing, isn't it?
The question is, Mike, will we win next Saturday at the WD18 Cup?
Absolutely, definitely not.
No, neither do I. Well, we're going to have some fun. Anyway, that's next Saturday at the West Harts Sports Ground in Watford. What time does it start? Like late morning?
Yeah, 12 o'clock, I think, the first game is. It just looks like it's going to be a great event. We mentioned it last time. A huge amount of work's gone into it from the WD18 boys, getting up off their backsides, doing something for charity. But also, it's going to be a fun day out. Hopefully, we don't have to worry about Watford for the day. So you can get along. I think everyone's piling along to the Mad Squirrel in Watford afterwards for a half of something tasty. So really, really good opportunity to see other Watford supporters. I think the final is due about 5 o'clock. So the bar's going to be open, barbecue. There's the raffle and auction, I think, is going to be announced. Craig Cathcart's FA Cup final shirt is up for grabs on the auction, as is a match-worn Emmanuel Dennis shirt. I may or may not be bidding for that. At least you can be guaranteed it's match-worn. It probably won't be to have too much sweat in it. But very harsh, very harsh. I take it back. But it will be a great day. And if nothing else, you get to see some of the From the Rookery End crew plodding around in shirts that are probably, we've gone for XL, but probably should be XL. So yeah, you get to have a good laugh at us trying to play football as well. But yeah, massive credit to the WD18 guys. It's a massive undertaking, but looks like it should be a whole lot of fun.
Yep, and probably going to be a very busy week ahead for them to get it all ready at the last minute. It always is. So good luck, lads, and we'll see you on Saturday. Thank you very much, Michael. Thank you, Adam. And well, we got a week or two off worrying about Watford Football Club. Come on, you horns!